Maybe we could just have a little reading at this time. And if we could turn to God's Word in the Gospel of Luke chapter 13. The Gospel of Luke chapter 13. And we read from verse 1 through to 9. Luke's Gospel chapter 13. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Now I want to turn you tonight to this passage that we've read together in Luke's Gospel, chapter 13. And it's a parable. It's not one of the most well-known among the parables. I remember, I think it was in Port Rush, doing a little series on Sunday night on the parables. But this is a parable about the barren fig tree. And I want just to get the parable into context, because you'll find that the chapter begins with the Lord teaching the people about the need of repentance. And that's something that's the same today. The gospel or God's way of salvation never changes. And there's the need of repentance. Unfortunately, we don't hear very much about repentance today. And salvation's made, you know, easy. There's an easy believism. But we need to remember that when people get saved, it's repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ is teaching these people about the need of repentance. The Jews had been saying that the terrible tragedy that happened to the Galileans was the judgment of God upon them. He says, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans because they suffered such things. You see, Pilate had come amongst the Galileans while they made their sacrifices, and he had sent a squad in and slain them as they made their sacrifices. And the people had said, you know, this was God's judgment upon them. And the Lord Jesus was pointing out that the terrible tragedy that happened to the Galileans, it wasn't because of the judgment of God. He says, you know, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He seeks to correct that error. And he gives further example in verse 4. He says, Here are those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them. Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? And again, he's pointing out that these people were, whether they were killed by Pilate or whether because of this human tragedy that God's judgment was upon them, that this was an exhibition and a demonstration of God's judgment. He seeks to correct that error, and he points out that they would perish anyway unless they would repent of their sin. And the Lord says, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And then verse 6, it says, he spake this parable. And the parable is in the context of what Jesus said to these Jews about repentance. And we find that the true interpretation of this parable is concerning the Jewish nation. The fig tree planted in the vineyard was representing the Jewish nation planted in the land of Palestine. The dresser of the tree was the Lord. And for 3 years, Jesus had ministered to Israel in his earthly ministry. But there were few who had ears to hear and hearts to understand. And God's patience was exhausted. And so he said, cut it down, cut it down. But we find as we read on in the parable, in verse 8 and 9, it says, and he answering, the dresser answering, said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it, and if it bear fruit well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. So we find that Christ entered a fourth year into his ministry. It's believed that his ministry lasted 3.5 years, so he has completed 3, and God was ready to exercise judgment upon the unbelief of the Jewish nation. But now he pleads with him to give him another year, and he enters the fourth year into his ministry. And during this time, Christ continued to proclaim the truth and to call people to repentance. And in the midst of that year, the Jews rose up against him and cried out for him to be crucified. And they put him on a cross. And there was no national repentance. My, they refused to accept their Messiah. And as a result, the fig tree of Israel was cut down. And history tells us and teaches us that the Jewish nation was scattered throughout the world. Now that's the interpretation of the parable. For every passage, for every text, for every story you come to in the Bible, there's one true interpretation. You need to get the true interpretation. But remember, there's many applications. So we have given what I believe is the true interpretation. This was a parable for the nation of Israel, how that they needed to repent. And Christ had been in their midst and they refused to repent. And God's judgment came upon them and they were scattered, my, abroad throughout the world. Now, having looked at the interpretation, we want to make the application to the individual in the presentation of the gospel. I want you to see one or two things as we make the application in the parable. The first thing I want you to see is the privilege of the fig tree. The privilege of the fig tree. It says a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. He had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. Now, the vineyard was a place where grapes was produced, not figs. It was a place where grapes was produced, and fig trees are usually found by the side of the road. But this fig tree had the advantage and privilege of being planted in a vineyard. That being so, it was planted in better soil. It had more care taken of it than the other fig trees by the wayside. In the vineyard, it was continually encouraged to grow and to produce fruit. And because it was privileged more than the fig trees by the wayside, it had the added responsibility to bear fruit than they had. The owner expected fruit because of the privileges it enjoyed. And you know, there's many people today like the fig tree. God has privileged you by planting you in a vineyard. Yes, some he has planted in the vineyard of a Christian home. And that's a great privilege, to be planted, to be brought up in a Christian home where there should be a Christian environment every day, where from a child you've been taught the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. From a tot, from the first moments of understanding, you've been in that environment. Dear friends, others have been planted, had the privilege of being planted in the vineyard of a church where the gospel is preached, where the gospel is heralded forth every Sunday, where the gospel is taught in Sunday school from godly Sunday school teachers, where the gospel is proclaimed from the pulpit, and men and women and young people and boys and girls have no excuse of not hearing the gospel. My, what a privilege to be planted in the vineyard of an evangelical church. Some are in the care of a godly Sunday school teacher who has prayed for her class or his class. Some have been planted in the vineyard of a prayerful friend and good friend or workmate. And so you have had the privilege of hearing the gospel explained. But the fact of the matter is this, that privilege always brings responsibility. And so you're responsible now as to what you do with the Savior. Having been taught the truth and heard the truth and having known the truth, you're responsible as to what you do with Jesus Christ. And because of the gospel privileges you enjoy, God expects to see the fruit of salvation in your life. So we see here, first of all, tonight, the privilege of the fig tree. The privilege of the fig tree. And then it says here in verse 6 again, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. And the second thing I want you to see is the patience of God. The proprietor of this vineyard had seen to it that the fig tree had got the best of care. It had been looked after. It had been cultivated. It had attention. And so he had every right to expect fruit. If a businessman puts time and energy and money into a business investment, he expects a return for what he has put in. And for 3 years, this proprietor of the vineyard, he came seeking fruit from the fig tree, but he found no fruit in the fig tree. Now the proprietor was patient with the fig tree, and he waited patiently for it to produce fruit. You know, friends, the patience of God is a mighty thing. And all of us tonight should thank God that God is a God who is a patient God. He's a God of long-suffering. Ah, he was long-suffering with many of us. You remember what Peter says over in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 19? And this, verse 18 says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to God, death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is yet souls, were saved by water. You know, before the flood, Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and the ark was built, and salvation was provided. And Noah preached for 120 years, and the Spirit of God moved in people's hearts, but only its souls went through the door of the ark. Only its souls were saved. God was patient, and he waited long for the people to repent. God, in his patience, has waited long for many. He has spoken not once, not twice, not three times. He has spoken on many occasions through many different circumstances. But yet, there's folks and they're still unmoved and still no nearer the Lord than they ever were before. My dear friends, just as the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, my, it waits for you today. In 2 Peter 3:9, we read, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We see here the patience of God, and we should thank God for his patience. We see the privilege of the fig tree and the patience of God. And then it says here in verse 7, then he said unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit of the fig tree and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And that's the pronouncement of the proprietor. The owner of the vineyard waited patiently for 3 years. After 3 years, his patience ran out. And he was prepared to wait no longer on the fig tree. But there came a day when he says it's time enough. The patience of God, friends, remember, it's not inexhaustible. It's not inexhaustible. God was long-suffering in the days of Noah, but at the end of 120 days, God shut the door of the ark. There came a cutoff point. There came a line in the sand, if you like, when God said, that's enough, that's long enough. And God shut the door. And when he shut the door, he shut those on the inside in, and he shut those who were on the outside out. So you need to make sure that you're in the ark. You need to make sure that you're in Christ. Because when the moment comes, when the master of the house rises up and shuts to the door, he'll shut those of us who are on the inside in, but those on the outside will be shut out. And God will not wait forever. He'll not speak to your heart forever. His patience will not last forever. Someday God will speak to your heart for the last time. Some night will be the last gospel service. And my dear friend, if you're not inside the door, then you'll have missed the opportunity. You remember that God spoke to Pharaoh. He spoke to Pharaoh many times. And each time Pharaoh hardened his heart. There was times he was about to relent and let the people go, and then he would harden his heart. And then one day the patience of God was exhausted and judgment fell. We see here the pronouncement of the proprietor. And he answering said unto him, let it alone this year also till I dig about it and dung it. And if it bear well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. And we see the plea of the intercessor. The dresser of the vineyard pleaded with the Lord of the vineyard to let it alone, to leave it for another year. And he says, you know, if you leave it, I'll dig around it and I'll dung it. And he was pleading with the Lord of the vineyard to have mercy on this unfaithful fig tree and to give it another opportunity to produce fruit. And as men traveled down the road, the broad road, the cross stands before them, and eternal death stands before them. And my dear friends, I believe that but for the mercy of God, but for the pleading of many, that people would be lost. But we see here this plead on the performance of the dresser. He says, I'll dig about it and dung it. My digging about it would disturb the roots. And by dunging it, he would fertilize it and so encourage it to produce fruit, which was the thing that this man was looking for. It was the thing that this Lord of the vineyard was interested in. He wanted it to produce fruit. And there's many today, many people today who are slumbering in their sins and drifting down the sands of time, having been privileged in so many ways, having heard the truth and known the truth, having been stirred and spoken to by the Spirit of God. And there's many of them drifting down the sands of time, unconcerned about the eternal welfare of their soul. And they need to be disturbed out of their slumber and aroused to do something about their soul. You know, the fertilizer was the power that the dresser was using to produce fruit from this fig tree. And men and women will only be awakened and aroused to their need by the power of God, by God working in their heart by the power of His Spirit. Men and women will only be aroused out of their slumber and out of their neglect through the power of the gospel. My, the gospel needs to be preached in the power of the Spirit of God. My, you remember the words of the great apostle Paul when he wrote to the Corinthians. And in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians and verse 17, Paul said this, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." And dear friends, men's hearts needs to be aroused and stirred and awakened. And the danger needs to be brought before them to remind them again. And they need my to be aroused by the power of the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the gospel. And the preaching of the gospel is the preaching of the cross. People need to be reminded that they're perishing, that they're in danger of being lost. But God in heaven loves them, and God so loved them that He sent His Son. We've been singing about it here tonight, that how that Christ came and was born in Bethlehem. Jesus, my Savior, to Bethlehem came. And Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And we've been reminded even in the song tonight how that He went to the cross and died to save men and women and shed His blood to be their Savior and offered a sacrifice that was acceptable to God. And so acceptable that God raised His Son from the dead the third day. And because Christ came and died and rose again, my, there's a Savior tonight who lives and who's able to save. We're celebrating these days the birth of the Son of God. But we're not forgetting the death of the Son of God and the resurrection of the Son of God. And the power of the Son of God to save people and to redeem their hearts from destruction. And oh, that men's hearts might be stirred by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. My, the Lord Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And oh, for that drawing power of the Spirit of God, my, through the gospel this evening. We see in this parable, as we look at it, the privilege of the fig tree. What a privilege. It was planted in a vineyard. The patience of God, my, the man, the Lord of the vineyard was patient. There was no fruit the first time, the first year. There was no fruit the second year. There was no fruit the third year, yet he was patient with it. And then we saw the pronouncement of the proprietor. When it still hadn't bore fruit, he said, cut it down. And we see the plea of the intercessor, and he pleaded. And the performance of the dresser, how he dug around it and dunged it and sought to arouse it and bring it to life that it might bear fruit. And then we see the plight of the fruitless fig tree. It says, if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. If it bear fruit, great, praise the Lord. But if not, cut it down. And that would indicate to me that there's a time when the Spirit of God works, when God moves, when God speaks. But dear friends, God's voice can be silent. God's voice can stop. My spirit, saith the Lord, shall not always strive with man. Don't be hanging on until you're on your deathbed. Because men will only be saved when the Lord is working in their heart. And if this fig tree failed to bear fruit after another year, it was to be cut down and burned. After all the privileges it had, the patience that was shown to it, the play that was made, the performance of the dresser in trying to encourage it, and if it still didn't produce fruit for the owner, it would be judged. It would be cut down. Many have been privileged. Many have been privileged. And God has been patient and waited long for many. And the power of the Spirit has moved on people's hearts. But in many there's no fruit unto salvation. They've never come to that place where they've come to Christ, where they've bowed the knee. Maybe you're here tonight and you're like the fig tree. You've been privileged, grown up in the environment of Christianity and the gospel. And yet, year after year, you've procrastinated and put it off, and yet God in his mercy has been patient. Here you are tonight, friend. And if there's no fruit forthcoming, the fruit of salvation, then you'll be cut down like the fig tree and burned. I'm sure the fig tree had leaves. But it wasn't the leaves that the owner was interested in. I'm sure the fig tree had blossoms, but it wasn't the blossoms that the owner was looking for. My, the thing the owner was looking for was fruit. And there was no fruit. And God is not looking for the fig trees, the fig leaves of religion in your life. Because that's all a whole lot of people have. All they have is religion. God's not looking for the fig trees of religion. And he's not looking for the blossoms of responsibility. He's looking for the fruit of faith. And it's only faith in Jesus Christ that brings salvation to the hearts of men and women and forgiveness of their sins. God's looking for the fruit of faith tonight. I trust you'll not be like the fig tree. My dear friends, if you are, may God disturb you. May God shake you to your very foundations. May his power come upon you so that the fruit of eternal life might be experienced in you. Yes, the fig tree. My dear friends, it was privileged, but it was fruitless. Make sure that you don't procrastinate another week or another month or another year. But if you see a picture of yourself in the fig tree, may you respond and exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.